Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I love this new setup we have for the audio. You come through just so I know. I mentioned it on a couple shows ago, but it's as we've done this so many times, to hear your voice come through loud and clear and crisp and with a good tone, it's terrific. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing actually about yours. So maybe this is the better way to go. So.
Ah, terrific. It's funny. You know, it's funny how. Today I had an experience. So I'll jump right into it. Just talking with somebody, just as we mentioned this, it really makes me think about it as kind of a story to enter the show into. And I feel like, you know, sometimes we get into conversations, and if we overhear conversations people are having, or sometimes we, go out with somebody and we kind of get into our stories and talking about things people did at work or some sort of thing that we're involved in. You know, we kind of go over the conversation and we kind of have this revisionist history when it comes to, you know, how the dialogue went. And I think it's really funny to, you know, as somebody now who has an ear for these kind of things, to listen to people, you know, talk about what the other person said and then here's what I said. And, you know, obviously portraying to the third party person, you know, how right we were, how we were, you know, we always try to make ourselves the hero of the stories that we retell. And it's kind of interesting. But I had some nice interaction today. I had jobs with my business today, this afternoon, and I just got in here in time for the show. And just talking to one of my customers who was going to be selling their house and moving into a downsizing, and then all of a sudden they had a son come back from out east, and they were going to live with them, and then things with the townhouse didn't work out. And it was just a succession of things that just kind of worked out in their favor. And it was just such a refreshing conversation as I was, finishing up. And it was just so nice and uplifting to talk about and give voice and give our attention to the way that things do work out in our lives. And it's funny because we have like this full agency in our lives. We're able to pretty much choose whatever we like. We live in this wonderfully, and here's another example of it too, we live in this wonderfully vibrant and successful society, perhaps the most successful there's ever been. You know, certainly there's issues, and as we come up on election time, you know, election cycles in full swing in the United States, and election is upcoming here in Canada. It's like a handful of weeks away, and it's funny how the fever pitch sometimes seems to take a back seat to the American politics. And that one's like more than a year away. And we talk about our differences, and we talk about things that are wrong with society, and things that, you know, we need to pay down the debt, and we need to not split income sharing for families, and we need to, you know, put more money into baby benefits and all these kind of things. And they're all important. They're all ways in which we self-correct. But to the bigger point, if we have this complete agency to choose what's best for ourselves and us collectively, and it's important to give voice and acknowledgement to the myriad of ways in our lives where things go right. Just even having the money to go out with a friend and go have a coffee and a bagel at a coffee shop, or go out for dinner, or go for a lovely walk if the weather, you know, if the weather's nice enough to do that. And I just, you know, it set my vibration up beautifully for my drive home and getting ready for this show. And it's a real palpable, simple, but real example of how we can lift our vibrations just by choosing so.
Yeah, that's a really good observation, and it's so nice when you can walk into a conversation or an experience like that. And I don't know, I think gratitude's been on my mind for a few weeks because I'm trying to focus on having more gratitude for even the smallest things in life, and I think that comes into it in a big way because I think there's a great tendency for the ego to look for everything that's wrong and go to the WCS, also known as the worst case scenario. And I I'm really trying to understand why and how that happens, and turn it around, and, you know, not just for me, but for other people. You know, when you get into a conversation with someone who has a tendency to go to that WCS, just trying to redirect the conversation to maybe the best case scenario, as opposed to always going. And I think it's like anything, it's a habit that we get into. And I think, like any habit, we can change that if we just change our focus and put more weight on feeling the gratitude for what we do have, and for, like you say, we live in, you know, as much as we all complain about how our country seems to be going downhill, we still live in a first world country and have so much and experience so many wonderful things in our lives. And yet, it doesn't matter where we live or what we experience, we do tend to lean towards the more negative side of it. And I think, you know, people want to know, well, how am I as one person going to change the world? And I think just change that one little thing. Just change the perspective with which you see your life. And that spreads like wildfire. It really does. So, yeah, I think that's really cool that you had that experience. Yeah. And so cool that you came into you started the show on such a high note, which is really great.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's funny. It reminds me of this the feeling that I'm having. It's just this excitement, right? It's like this feeling in my chest, in my heart, in my my heart chakra, and I just get excited to contribute to conversation, to have one with you, to connect with people. And, you know, it's just amazing how many benefits there are to having a higher vibration, if that's what you want to call it, you know. Or, you know, it's like the tide in a way, you know, a tide rises all ships. Well, a better vibration raises, you know, all your thoughts on all sorts of things, and makes you come from, helps you connect to that loving place, and allows you to interact coming from it. And I like the way that you put gratitude. You know, I was having a nice lunch yesterday with my aunt, and, you know, just came up, this conversation after the meal was just about, it's kind of birthday season for a number of us, and and just how, you know, you have this number, that's how many times, you know, you've been on this rock, and it's made, you know, a full, it's tried to catch up to the sun and move around it, and it seems so silly that we kind of count it, and I understand, I guess, why we do, and I guess it's a concept that is helpful in some ways, but, you know, for everybody who gets a year older, or who thinks about it for a second, like, oh my goodness, I'm this number, I think for the most part, we're like, wow, this is not what I thought it was supposed to feel like. You know, you get there, and then from the inside out, it's like, well, I still feel like me. I still feel like all the things that I am. And this number, you know, it doesn't really work all that well to define me. And, you know, I pose the question, just what is it about, you know, life that keeps me in this way? It keeps me excited, you know, keeps me, and it's vibrations like the one I just talked about, and that we both just acknowledged. You know, it is this gratitude for being alive. And it does bring a tremendous amount of youth to your perspective on life, and the excitement you have to engage with it, engage with the other humans who are stuck here with us. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, talking about worst case scenario, you know, yeah, you can go there, but it's important to pull yourself out, and as you always say, create the gap. And I love to remind our listeners and myself about creating the gap, you know, and when we are doing the worst case scenario, because I'm by no means immune to it. If something goes wrong, then all of a sudden I start projecting ahead 6 weeks, a year from now. Well, what's that going to mean? What's it going to look like? You know, and, you know, it's worst case scenario, and we can create the gap and realize all the things that we have, and not a whole lot can bother you.
Yeah, that whole idea of, oh my God, I'm getting old.
well, yeah, what does that mean, right? What is old?
Exactly. the body is getting old. And that's the thing, like when you said it doesn't matter how old you get, you still feel like me, I still feel like me inside. I think that's really important, because I think that feeling of not, you know, looking at yourself and saying, yes, the calendar says I'm 59 now. the calendar says I'm 59 years old. But inside, I can't pin it down to an age. And that's just the recognition of the loving presence. Because the loving presence, which is the basis and the foundation of who we are, no identity, just loving presence here to experience life. It has no age, it has no gender, there's no time or space or anything going on except that beingness that sits quietly in the gap, in the love, and watches and experiences everything else that's happening around us, including the body and what the body is doing, whether it's aging or it's healthy or it's unhealthy or it's tripping over a spot in the sidewalk or whatever it is. It's that experience of it that comes from a very loving and an almost neutral place, without judgment, without criticism, and that stepping back into that space, that knowing, you know, okay, I'm 59 years old, but I'm still me. That's the reminder of who we really are. I love that. I just love that, because nowadays I have to, when someone says, how old are you? I actually have to take my birth year and subtract, because I don't pay attention. Yes, I had another birthday, but I'm not counting. And it's not because I'm getting older. I think it's just because I have a different perspective. And that perspective, hopefully, comes more from the loving presence than it does from ego now. And yes, I'm a full-fledged member of the human race, so I'm not always living from that loving presence. But the desire is to live from that presence more and more and as much as possible, and to be aware of the times that I'm not, so that I can bring myself back to it. So I think it's really neat that you said that about I'm still me. And that's exactly it.
Yeah, and I think it ties in even too to the whole notion of politics. And I love the word, you know, namaste. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm glad that we have the word. You know, the loving presence in me recognizes the loving presence in you. Sometimes I do find, though, that like words and stuff can be used cheaply. And I always love the expression, I am more you than I am not you. And it's an important thing to keep in our minds. And I just like it so much because, you know, in this season where we are going to be, you know, electing a new government or maybe keeping the same one, either way, you know, we kind of focus on our differences, as I said earlier, and to the whole point about age and, you know, you're your age, I'm my age, but, you know, I am more you than I'm not you, and by quite a wide margin, you know, that I still feel like me. You know, if you feel like that too, well, then we share something, you know, massively in common, that we're just, we have this beautiful essence about us, this beautiful spirit that is just, you know, I have my body and you have yours, and, you know, you've been living your life and I've been living mine, but we're really no different. We're really doing the same thing here. And that's between friends, but that's also true between enemies, you know. It's also true between those who we, you know, talk about being violent towards to change their minds about something geopolitically. It's also silly. You know, I love the expression, you know, war is really interesting to me, and not necessarily from a history perspective as far as like who won and lost and so on, but it's an interesting thing because it's an interesting behavior we have as the most intelligent species on this planet, and how we engage in it and how it comes to be and how it becomes an acceptable decision en masse. And one expression really struck me as I was reading one day, and it was that, you know, when average people go to war, you know, it's not the leaders or it's not even the ideas. You know, the ideas can't fight each other necessarily, and so they use humans as proxy. And, you know, we have these leaders who decide that it's okay to go, you know, go fight these people or to go, you know, punish them for what they've done, or, you know, the person who's, you know, the person who's always using violence always feels as if, you know, they're the victim, which is also a very funny thing. But when the actual average soldier goes and lines up their gun and goes a point to that another average soldier on the other side, it's really important to remember that we have more in common with the person that we're shooting than the person that we're shooting them for. And I always find that it's so important to realize that we're all the same. We're all just this energy, this spirit, this soul, you know, trying to live in a body on this planet and have this experience of trying to figure it all out before we expire, whenever that might be. And I think it would do well to help us solve a lot of problems, or at least find common ground much, much sooner, with a whole lot less angst and fighting and bickering and negative feelings and behaviors which lower our vibration and then make us not come and interact with one another from a loving presence, but actually try to spot our differences and try to build walls and try to figure out how we're right and you're wrong and how we can prove it to you. And if we can't prove it to you, then we'll just use force.
Until you know we're right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And really that's, you know, the basis of war is I'm more right than you, or I'm right and you're wrong. And it's just protecting our interests, our belief system, basically. And I find that really, I also find that really interesting. It's also about not listening. And I see that in everyday conversation. But before I go into that, A Course in Miracles always says, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And, you know, I really learned that I'd rather be happy, and that it's not worth the fight, because you can start with as big as war and you can work your way down to individual disagreements. It always comes down to the need to be right. And it doesn't make us happy. It doesn't make us happy at all. And it's not, it's the letting go of that brings us the happiness. The accepting and allowing other people to have their belief system, to honor them, you know, honor the spirit in them and the humanity in them as well. I think it's not just about honoring, you know, my spirit honors the spirit in you, but my loving presence recognizes the frailty of your humanity and beyond that recognizes your loving presence. And it's all okay. And that when we sit down and we really deeply listen to people, we actually hear that frailty in them. And we have compassion, as opposed to hearing anger and fighting against it. I think that's really important, is just to really hear what people have to say instead of worrying about what we're going to say next to prove our point. But just to really hear someone on a deep level where we're feeling their energy, we're hearing what they're saying beyond the words that are being directed towards us, and knowing that there is perhaps a vulnerability underneath that push or that anger or that force or control or whatever it is, and to understand each other and accept each other for that human frailty as well as the loving presence.
Yeah, that's really well said. And I bring up the idea of like war and conflict, because it is so interesting how we do it, you know, as a group on a macro scale. But we also do it very much on an interpersonal scale, and even an intrapersonal scale, how we do it within ourselves, how we have this war that goes on even in our own thoughts about things that we're doing, the ways that we've disappointed ourselves, or the way that we get mad at ourselves, the way that we get mad at others. And I'm absolutely susceptible to it. And I think it's why I find it so interesting, because basically from the time that I was a teenager, and I'm still susceptible to it, and I'm getting much better, but there's been a long period in my life where that war has been raging on inside of me, and I've been having those thoughts, and I've had those thoughts too, whether it be, you know, people of in authority positions, or people like my parents, or different ideologies, and I can certainly see, and it's so interesting to me because, at least from my perspective, and I think this is true of many young males, is that we're really susceptible to taking on these beliefs, not only in our own lives and being violent, but taking on greater causes or what we believe to be greater causes, and then being able to be used and fight people we've never met before for the idea of a greater cause. You know, it's something in a particular age group that we're very, very willing to do. And I feel like if I was in the previous life, if I didn't have the inputs or the available inputs, or I didn't have books, I can certainly see myself growing up in other countries, or even this one, had something bad happen during those times and really wanting to go and fight about it. And I think it's so interesting, and to create the gap and to become educated, and it's a big reason why I like to work with kids, and in particular, you know, young males, is to help shorten that space of living like that and from that perspective, because I know how destructive it is, not only in their relationships, you know. Well, essentially, like, as you said earlier, you know, our lives succeed or fail gradually, then suddenly, and if we're doing lovely things and coming from a loving energy, then we get to see people's vulnerability, and then because we get to see people's vulnerability, we realize how much the same we are, and it's just this spiral upwards. But it also works the other direction too, where we can spiral downwards, and you know, it's the reason, it's the impetus behind why I love doing this show so often. You know, one of the big reasons is because if you can help have an idea wedge in between, you know, someone like myself who could really have used it 15 years ago. And maybe think about a situation differently and not just react from a place of emotion or ego, it would do a lot of good. And to the idea of changing the world, you know, that's the thing. You get in a lot of these conversations too, when, you know, I'm sure you do as well as a life coach. You know, people want to change the world, and it's like, oh, I can't. And it's like, well, you know, I can't tell you that you can, but you can change your world. And that's enough. You know, that's enough for one lifetime. You know, you just emanate outwards love and acceptance and peace. And that's enough, you know, that's a job well done, because that's difficult enough.
Yeah, and really you can't change someone else anyways unless they make the decision to change. So all you can do is be inspired yourself and possibly inspire other people by being what it is that you, you know, being what you want to see in the world. I mean, famous quote from Gandhi was, be the change you want to see in the world. And it really, it doesn't change the world the way you think. It changes your perspective of the world. It changes the way you see the world. And eventually, it starts to ripple and it starts to touch other people. And that peace that we feel from within ourselves, we start to see it in other people in the world. And I think, you know, that is all you can do. And many, many people have said to me, I don't know what my purpose is. That's your purpose. Your purpose is to recognize and remember the loving presence within you that only knows peace. And that can look in the look at the world with acceptance and compassion and love and peace, and totally be everything and nothing all at once, and know that that's enough.
Yeah, it's an important concept to get and to internalize that it's enough. That's a month's worth of show right there. The idea of it's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough.
Yeah. And it's the nature of our human struggle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, we're kind of programmed. We have this engine that always tells us it's not enough. and it helps us in some ways, but it can cause just mass discontent. It can cause a life of discontent if we don't rein it in and understand it for what it is.
Exactly.
Well, we've used up our time. That's enough time for today. And it'd be wonderful if you could finish this off with meditation, Bettina.
I would absolutely love to. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, bring yourself down into that place where you feel no time, no space, no gender, no age. There's a vast, vast void that you enter into. And in this place, there is only the being. There is no need or desire. There is no problem or struggle. It is that place in which you feel perfectly comfortable and safe, protected, loved, and at peace. And from this place, as you breathe into this space, see at first your own humanity, how fragile it is, how it pulls you into a place of neediness, of desire, of fear, of anger, guilt, and shame. And from this place where you can observe without judgment, feel the compassion for that human struggle. That journey that is your life purpose. And hold yourself in that loving space. And allow yourself to experience the human frailty, to make mistakes, to feel the anger, to look at the fear, to forgive for the guilt, and hold yourself in a loving space that will nurture and support and guide you to that loving presence that is your birthright and the nature of who you are. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
I really like the way that you do that. You know, and to base it off the show, and you go off the top of talking about how there's no age or gender, you know, it really strips down, you know, some of our most basic identifiers. And bring us back to the world, you know, the world of form. It's a nice journey that you take us on. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, I hope everybody has a beautiful week this week. It's been a pleasure. It's been a high-energy show for me, and I appreciate it. I hope we all see you next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.